Be reading from Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Knowing that the Lord, he is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
George Washington made this statement about Thanksgiving, that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly ask his continued protection and favor. Therefore, I recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, is, or will be. In 1962, John F. Kennedy, he said, "It is fitting that we give thanks for the safety of our land, for the fertility of our harvests, for the strength of our liberties, and for the health of our people. We do so in no spirit of self-righteousness. We recognize that we are the beneficiaries of the toil and devotion of our forefathers, and that we can pass on their legacy onto our children only by equal toil and devotion. We recognize, too, that we live in a world of peril and change. And in so uncertain times, we are all the more grateful for the indestructible gifts of hope and love, which sustains us in adversity and inspires us to labor unceasingly for the more perfect community within this nation and around the earth." There are a lot of, and have been, a lot of Thanksgiving Day proclamations, but perhaps the most recognizable and the most thought-provoking are those that we find in Scripture. If you will, read with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34, where the Bible reads, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." We have heard the words of Psalm 100. But let us also look at the words that Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 15 through 17. And Paul writes here, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As a nation, as God's children, and as God's church, we are to be thankful. We are to grow a heart of thanksgiving, and we are to live a life of gratitude toward God. How do we do this? First, what David says in Psalms 100, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." Our thanksgiving is to be done, is to be given, to be lived, expressed with a joyful noise. We are to vocally proclaim our thanks and joy to God. It needs to be done with enthusiasm and excitement. The Hebrew word that is used here is yada, which means to make a public pronouncement, to verbally confess, to announce. In the Hebrews' mind during the time of David, it was not enough to thank God privately or quietly, but it was also to be public, not in a self-righteous way, but to let others see the joy that God has given to us. Allow that praise to be heard publicly. We sit here in our worship services. Does our joy show through? Do we see in one another's face? Do we hear it in their voices, in their expressions? Joy. Is it here? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. In Galatians 5, verse 22, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is that Spirit of God living in us. And if our sovereign God lives in us, it should fill us with that joy. And it should be a joy that we cannot keep silent. Our thanksgiving is also to be expressed by us worshiping God gladly. Verse 4 of Psalms 100 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." Thankful people are obedient. They are a worshiping and serving people. Paul ties worship and service together in Romans chapter 12 in the first two verses. Y'all are very familiar with these, where Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, it was Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 that set the stage for worship and service when He was being tempted by Satan. In verse 10, He said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only Him shall you serve." A lot of times when we read the Bible, we kind of overlook conjunctions. Conjunctions are the things that tie two thoughts together. They make them equal. And here, Jesus tied worship and service together with the word "and." Much like "believe and be baptized" is tied with the conjunction "and." Imagine yourself the richest man in the world. Imagine yourselves as being given all of the wisdom that God can give you. And yet you write a whole book trying to figure out the meaning of life. Well, Solomon had it all. God had blessed him beyond our imaginations. And if Solomon's riches were here today, it would equal far more than the richest man on the world had ever had. And yet he was trying to find the meaning of life. And at the very end, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he come up with it. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Our joy for God is expressed in our worship and our service. You know, there are those, and I say this with humility and as much kindness as I most possibly can, who choose not to come and worship on Sundays or on Wednesdays. Friends, we need to consider our gladness and our joy and our thankfulness to God when we decide not to come and worship. Yes, there's many of our number who have a very difficult time driving at night. I understand that. It is safer for them to stay home. And there are those who have been suffering through illnesses and other things that makes it difficult for them to be here. But what about us that are able-bodied? Can we really say that we are glad, that we rejoice with those who say, let us go up to the house of the Lord together? Especially if we intend not to be here. Are we glad? Are we rejoicing? Are we worshiping and serving the Lord when we decide to place something else before praising Him in communing and in singing and in prayer? Just need to give it just a little bit of thought. Mother Teresa said it best when she said, I'm just a pencil in the hands of God, writing a love letter to the world. I don't agree with her religion one bit, but she was a woman that in her own mind was dedicated in serving the Lord. Right or wrong, she did many good things in this world. Are we lights shining in the world, sent to serve the Christ in others by exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Friends, our pencils will write. Our light will shine. Our fruit is best enjoyed when we worship and serve God with joy and gladness and with excitement and enthusiasm. Thanksgiving is to be an attitude. It is a heart condition. In verse 2 of Psalms 100, David writes, come into his presence with singing. You know, our singing must come from the heart with spirit and understanding. If we can sing anytime. We can sing anything that we want. But genuine gratitude and thanksgiving comes from within the heart. We may not know the music to the songs we sing. It's probably a lot of us can't read music, but it doesn't matter. It's the words that matter. It's what's in the heart that matters. And you can tell a lot about the life of a church by listening to the singing. We do not have to be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in our singing. As long as it comes from the heart, we're singing our praises to God, not to one another. Even though we are learning and teaching and admonishing one another with our songs, but our praises, our songs go to God. When we enter a worship service that is genuinely thankful, the intensity in our song service will be great, whether it's 10 or 10,000. The point is that thanksgiving and gratitude is a heart condition. It's a genuine thankfulness that comes deep within. And because it comes from deep within, it exhibits itself when we sing, whether we are on key or whether we can't carry a tune in a bucket. This is why Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 16, that we are to let that word of Christ dwell richly in us, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. With what? With thankfulness. With thankfulness in our hearts to God. How can we claim to be children of God and to love Christ and not worship Him in songs of joy and praise? You know, sometimes, especially this time of the year in the winter months, sometimes our throats don't work the way we want them to work. We may be suffering from colds or some conditions where sometimes it's even hard for us to talk. And getting words out in a way that others can hear is extremely difficult, and sometimes it's very painful. The heart still sings. The heart can still sing. And if you don't know the notes to the song, say the words. That's the important part. These songs were first written with words, not music. Most every song written starts out with words and never the music. Verse 5 of Psalms 100 says, "For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever." It was James who wrote in James 1 and verse 15 that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What does that mean? With no shadow due to change. It means basically that with God, there is no dark side. That God is always good. That His mercy is everlasting, and that His truth endures forever. As Malachi wrote, God said, "I, the Lord God, I change not." In light of this, our thanksgiving is to be perpetual, because God is always God. God is always good. Even when we think He's not, and even when our life seems to be crashing down around us. There's an interesting set of verses that come out of the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18, listen to what's written here. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive oil fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Verse 20. 102 pilgrims came to this continent to build a new life in a new world where they would be free to worship and serve God. In that first year, 56 people died. It was either starvation, disease, or the extremely brutal winter that they had that year. Those folks did not give up. And a year later, 46 pilgrims and 91 Native Americans met to give thanks for a bountiful harvest and for the preservation of their lives. If I was one of the 46 and over half is gone, I'd be looking for another boat to go home. These folks had every right to be depressed. They had every right to be discouraged. But they chose to give thanks anyway. The book of Habakkuk was written against the backdrop of apostasy. of judgment and some unbelievable hardship. It was written during the time when the king of Judah had led the people away from God into idolatry. And as a result, God was preparing to judge that nation. Even God's prophet Habakkuk was having trouble understanding why God would use a heathen nation like Babylon to punish his people. Habakkuk was basically saying to God, "You need to come down here and explain yourself to me." I have a lot of similarities between Habakkuk and Job. Job argues his case, but in the end he realizes that God is not to be worshipped merely because of the temporal, the material, and the physical blessings. He is to be worshipped simply for who he is. God is to be worshipped. God is to be served because he is God. These two men did not understand God. They questioned God. But when God shows up, when they see him for who he is, their lips quivered and they spoke no more. They praised him in thanksgiving. The lesson is that we are to be thankful. Regardless of where we find ourselves this very moment, whether our life is crashing down, whether we see nothing but doom and gloom in the future, we are still to be thankful to God. We are to know that when our life seems to be at its bleakest, that God is still God, that he is still on his throne, that he is still at work in our lives, that he is working for our benefit and our betterment. So we need to be thankful. Finally, there's one thing else that these verses teach. Thanksgiving is a choice. Joy, thankfulness, praise, and service are all choices that we make. We just need to think about what we are choosing. My favorite time of the year, 4 days away. And while the food is great, family is greater. And if we're just eating a chicken drumstick on Thanksgiving or a bowl of soup on Thanksgiving, eating it with family is the most succulent meal that you can have. And knowing that you are a child of God makes anything that the world can throw at us trivial, because he's always there and always will be. Where is God today in your life? Have you obeyed God today? God waited until the perfect time in the history of man to send his Son. He could have done it at any other time, but he waited for the very perfect moment. When people were looking for a Savior, someone to lead them to a better life, he sent his Son, and for 3 years, he prepared great men to carry on. But before his church could be established, he had to die on that cross. That perfect sacrifice was made for each and every one of us. And for many here this morning, many have accepted that sacrifice. Many have obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have not this day, think about that. The joy that cannot be extinguished can dwell in your hearts if you obey. Repentance and confession and baptism, you can enjoy and have the joy of everlasting life. Have that home in heaven. The choice is yours. The choice is also yours if you have been doing things that is contrary to the will of God and you realize that you need to repent of those things. The opportunity now is also before you. If there any has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.